Pastor Harry Wicker is coming to pick me from Knoxville this morning. And first time I was brought here to this place by my good friend, Pastor Bonifacius. Many years ago, that was my introduction to this ministry over here. From that time on, this church has been standing with us, supporting the ministry. And I wanted to know that we greatly, greatly appreciate all that you have been doing to further the cause of Christ in the land of India. You also have been supporting the summer crusade. We have received some tremendous reports. This year we sent out about 254 young people. We received just a few reports. So far over 1,700 people trusted in the Lord for salvation. And also you have been sponsoring the winter crusade. We call it the evangelistic crusade. And I appreciate all that you are doing. The past Brother Farmer and Brother Mullins and all came over there along with it was a tremendous time that we had. They were able to go and see some of the places where we have the church planting ministries and other things. Their coming was a tremendous encouragement. Once again, I want you to know that I greatly appreciate all that you are doing to further the cause of Christ in that land. India is only one third of the landmass of America. We have close to four times more people. Now it is 1.34 billion people. In 2.2 million square miles, we have over 1.34 million people. Quite often we talk about the 1040 windows, and that's the place 5.10 billion people live. 5.10 billion people live there in that small space. 3.110 billion never ever heard a clear presentation of God's word. Missionaries are not allowed to come to those regions. Think about how then those people are going to hear God's word being preached. Now God has blessed us to train these young men and women who come to the Bible college. And we have graduated now over 4,000 students, started over 1,000 churches. And as again, you have a tremendous part in that ministry. And I greatly, greatly appreciate all that you're doing. I know this night is a very busy night. I'm going to just share just a few thoughts. Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Psalm 116. I will not take much time, just few thoughts from God's word. And if you have some questions to ask me, and I'll be glad to answer after this. The book of Psalm 116 is one of my favorite psalms. I'm going to read this 19 verses, then I will just bring few thoughts. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. David often used to comfort himself. He used to talk to himself. Sometimes we all do the very same thing. When he was going through difficult times, he would talk to himself. Good examples we find in Psalm 42. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Then he says, hope thou in God. Many times we all ought to do that. When we go through difficult times, we ought to talk to ourselves and comfort us through the word of God. Then it says, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Is it not an amazing and wonderful thing? You and I, we have been blessed with overabundance of blessings. We need to be thankful to the Lord for that bountiful treatment of God. Food to eat and clothes to wear and shelter to live in, water to drink. And all these wonderful things God Almighty has provided to us. Then says in verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. I'll walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Notice verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I'm thy servant. I'm thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou wast loose my bones. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, I pray thou wilt truly speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to focus your attention to the 12th verse where it says, what shall I render unto the Lord? Now we are living in a world often people would ask, where can I get, how much can I get? Here is a man asking God, Lord, you have blessed me with overabundance of blessing. Now what can I give you back? Does he need anything from us? No, he does not need anything from us. But we are bound to be thankful to him for all the marvelous blessings wherewith God has blessed us. This is a very, very personal psalm. And I believe David is the one who wrote this psalm. He answered that question by making six resolutions. That's how he answered that question. What shall I render unto the Lord? In other words, the psalmist is asking, Lord, for your generosity, your kindness, your liberality, what can I give you back? The psalmist answered that question in a profound and wonderful way. Notice verse 1. It says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. That's the first resolution he made and said, Lord, I love you with all my heart. If a person truly loves another person, he or she would like to spend time with that person. That's what exactly the psalmist is telling. Lord, I love you and I love your presence. If you read Psalm 42, we find the psalmist said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When shall I come and appear before God? That ought to be the desire of every child of God, that we want to be in his presence because of our love towards him. In Psalm 27, verse 4, again he tells, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, we need to ask this question to ourselves, am I truly loving him as I ought to love him? Second thing the psalmist said in verse 2, the B part of verse 2, it says, I will call upon him as long as I live. To pray successfully, we need to pray with confidence. To pray successfully, we need to pray with confidence. Otherwise, if we don't have the confidence in our God who is able to answer, our prayer will never be answered. This reminds me about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who learned to pray. When he was confronted with problems and difficulties, he focused his attention upon God and said, Lord, I truly trust in you. Let me read here a few verses from the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And said I, beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive unto thine eyes, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Then he says, verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. That's a prayer of confidence and trusting him. And I'm sure that you have prayed with confidence and the Lord has truly answered your prayers. This also reminds me, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat prayed with great confidence in God and said, Lord, I'm in distress. I'm confused. I don't know what am I going to do because the army is right there, the Ammonites and the Moabites. Then he called upon the people and said, let us fast and pray. Having prayed, this is what Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. He said, Lord, we have no might, we have no power to stand against this great company which comes against us, but our eyes are upon you. And I often tell the young people in the Bible college, to be victorious in our Christian life is to focus our attention upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the psalmist said in verse 2, I will call upon the name of the Lord as long as I live. This is a lifetime commitment the psalmist made, not for 1 or 2 days, till he breathed his last breath, till the last day of his life. That's what it means. You know, friends, we have a great God to whom we can go at all times. His ears are not closed. His ears are ever open to the cries of God's people. He is always interested to listen from us. He answers our prayers. So the psalmist had that confidence. Psalmist said, I love you. I will call upon you. Now notice verse 9, it says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Isn't that an amazing thing? He said, Lord, you have blessed me with overabundance of blessing. I belong to you. Therefore, I have decided to walk a worthy walk before you, a walk which is pleasing in your sight. That's what God expects from his people. I often tell people, born again Christians will never stand before the white throne judgment of God. But we all will stand before the bema, which is the judgment seat of Christ. That's why the Bible tells us, don't build your lives with wood, hay, and stubble. Build your lives with the silver, gold, and precious stones. If we do that, then we will hear that great commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Says, I will walk. That's a personal decision the psalmist made and said, I will walk. It doesn't matter what others are doing. It is just like Enoch. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, he walked with God. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us he pleased God. In the book of Jude, it says he witnessed for God. That's what God expects from us. Now notice verse 10. He said, I believed, therefore I have spoken. That simply means, Lord, I will speak for you. What a tremendous, tremendous commitment the psalmist made. Lord, whatever I believed about you and I'm going to tell to other people is not what you and I we supposed to do. That great mandate is given to each one of us. Think about 1.34 billion Hindus in India worshipping 33 million gods and goddesses. They bow down to those idols and worship. They believe in the philosophy of doing something so that they can make it to heaven. But what they need is to hear God's word being preached. I have a good friend here, my friend, Pastor Bonifacius. I have yet to see a man who is so bored and to reach the lost with the gospel. Wherever he goes, he's not ashamed to tell people about the Lord. And as I already mentioned, 254 people went out to preach God's word. The church sponsored that work. Tremendous results. People are out there waiting to hear God's word being preached. Sometimes we think that case is an impossible case. But friends, nothing is impossible with him. Those people are right there They are waiting to hear. But many times, no one is there to tell them. Think about all those missionaries who went all over the world, like William Carey, Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, David Livingston, Charlotte Tucker. Thousands of them went all across this globe to preach God's word. Even today, some of those work is going on in that part of the world. The psalmist said, I believe, therefore I have spoken, and I was greatly afflicted. Now the psalmist said, what shall I render unto you, Lord? And this is how he is answering that question. I'll love him. I'll call upon him. I'll walk a worthy walk. Lord, I'll speak for you. Would you commit your life to speak for him? The Lord is still in the business of calling people. He's asking that great question, to whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Would someone volunteer and say, Lord, I will go? Just like Charlotte Tucker. At the age of 54, the Lord called her and said, Charlotte, I want you to go to the northern part of India. She argued with the Lord and said, Lord, not me. I'm 54 years old. My skin color is different. The moment I go there, they will kill me. But the burden was very heavy in her heart. The Lord said, Charlotte, I'm talking to you. I want you to go to the northern part of India. At the age of 54, she left the shores of England. The very first year, she learned the Hindustani language. 18 years, she served the Lord in that part of the world. Never came to England for a furlough. On a Christmas Eve, she went to be with the Lord. Even today, people speak about her love for India and the mission work she did in that part of the world. Recently, I was reading about John Hyde. They nicknamed him Praying Hyde. And I read one account, sometimes he would face down, he prayed 32 hours, he prayed for the perishing souls. And he asked the Lord, Lord, give me souls or else I die. He asked the Lord, give me one soul a day. Then he increased that to two, then to three, then to four. There are many men of God. John Knox said, give me Scotland or else I die. That tells us the passion for people to see men and women coming to know him as their personal Savior and God. Now two more things I'm done. Notice in verse 17, the psalmist said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What an amazing thing. The psalmist said, Lord, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, which means, Lord, you bless me with overabundance of blessings, therefore I'm going to be thankful to you. David was a very thankful man. We read in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. You and I, we are prone to forget the blessings of God. Especially this generation. They want the gift, nothing to do with the giver. My time is gone, let me. Verse 16, O Lord, I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. You know what the psalmist said? Lord, I surrender my life to you. I am your servant. I have no choice of mine, but I surrender my life to you. Is not what Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for your reasonable service. God is being pleased when we surrender our life to please him and him alone. May the testimony of the psalmist be our testimony. The psalmist answered that question, what shall I render unto the Lord? He said, I'll love him. I'll call upon him. I'll walk a worthy walk. I'll speak for him. I will be thankful to him, and I surrender my life. May God continue to speak to us. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for speaking to our hearts. Continue to challenge us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
As we begin invitation, what has God spoken to your heart about? I was making a few notes up here, and you look at this whole chapter and seeing how our attention is brought not to ourselves, but it's brought to God. and our attention is directed on God's faithfulness, God's goodness. And maybe you want to come tonight and just thank God for how good he's been. I made a few notes. Do you love the Lord? If we truly love God, we see in verse number 1, we'll call upon him. If we truly love him, we see in verse number 12, we'll serve him. If we truly love him, we can't help but praise and be thankful to him. So as the pianist begins to play, let's all stand together. And maybe God is pinpointing something in your life tonight from this passage. Won't you come? Let's just come. Maybe you want to come tonight and just thank God for his goodness. Maybe you want to come tonight and say, God, help me to serve you more. Maybe you want to come tonight and say, God, help me to pray in confidence. Help me to approach you boldly, as the Bible says. Whatever your need is, won't you come? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted the free gift of salvation. Never want to let a service go by without offering an invitation for you to come to and know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior by placing your faith and trust in him. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven someday? Hopefully your answer is yes, but perhaps your answer is no. Please come. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know for sure that heaven's your eternal home. As they continue to play, we'll give you just a few more seconds here. Think about the words of this chorus. I wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I have ever given before. Think about it. Still with your head bowed and eyes closed, we'll go through one more verse of course. Anything, if there's anything else you need to deal with, please come. All right, thank you. You may go ahead and look this way.